I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. Each weekday from 9 to 11 o'clock, this is a safe space for you independent thinkers out there. No groupthink, no political talking points. We do it our way for a couple hours a day here. Today's Friday. Next hour, I'm going to do False Flag Friday. I'm going to take a look at a couple of foreign policy things that are going on. I'm going to get kind of quick to that, and then I have a interview that Ron Paul did with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., where he talks a little bit about the assassination of JFK and his father, RFK. Pretty interesting stuff when he talks about his research into those killings. We've looked at, and I think I've got the clip, but I'll play in just a little bit, where Trump says this is the greatest political scandal in the history of the country when he looks at the Russiagate hoax and the investigations into him by a corrupt Justice Department when he first got into office, or even before he did. But I got to tell you, I think that there was one that was a little bit bigger, and that was when they actually assassinated a sitting president and a candidate for president here in the United States. So we'll look at that then, and then we'll finish up the show today with a look back at the lunacy of the last week, plenty of clips for that, and some really absurd stories. Some of the things the schools are doing are absolutely nuts. I've got a hilarious clip on how far the schools have lost their mind with some of this remote learning and COVID hysteria stuff. Quote of the day. This has got to be one of my favorite ones. I don't know if I've even seen this before, but it's from John Adams, where he says, "Always stand on principle, even if you stand alone." That seems to kind of hit home here on the Mike Madison Show as I'm out here on my libertarian intellectual island, shouting at the shore. Different points of view. So anyway, always stand on principle, even if you stand alone. That's John Adams. I'm going to talk a little bit in just a second about the arrest yesterday of Steve Bannon, supposedly for misusing funds from the We Build the Wall campaign. We'll talk about that more later, but I just thought it was interesting. As I was getting ready and watching the morning news this morning, I saw footage of Steve Bannon leaving the courthouse. We heard his voice. He gave some statements. We saw him wave to the crowd. People saw him, and that's not unusual, so that's not necessarily news. I just bring it up in the fact that we've seen nothing of Ghislaine Maxwell. Not a picture, not a perp walk, not a statement, not a nothing for Ghislaine Maxwell. But I just wanted to verify to myself that, yeah, that's true. When high-profile people get arrested, we normally do see something that proves that they've been arrested. Ghislaine Maxwell is the obvious. You know, I don't understand why this has not become a bigger conspiracy theory than just here on the Mike Madison Show. I don't hear anybody talking about it. And particularly in conservative circles, with Ghislaine Maxwell, with this, so many Democrats like Bill Clinton and Alan Dershowitz and Bill Richardson, the former governor of New Mexico, and I think he was in the cabinet of the, was he in the cabinet of the Clinton administration, I guess it was. I mean, some high-profile Democrats are involved in this Epstein thing. Where are the conservatives on the conspiracy theory? Why will no one join me in the conspiracy theory that Ghislaine Maxwell has not been arrested? I guess I know why. Because it's Donald Trump's administration, and that would call into question the integrity of William Barr and the Justice Department under Donald Trump, so nobody else will talk about it. Again, as John Adams said, always stand on principle, even if you stand alone. So I will soldier along with my lone conspiracy theory. I don't think Ghislaine Maxwell's even been arrested. Day four of no coverage, basically, of the Democratic National Convention. I don't care about it one whit. Sounds like, just from reading the reviews, that Joe Biden made it through what I saw was about a 25-minute speech. I'm telling you, there's ways to manipulate medications to get somebody to think coherently. It's like putting jet fuel into something. It burns fast. You don't get a lot of time with it, but you can accomplish great things. And I would imagine they got Joe Biden. I probably let him have a nap. I don't know if any of this was done live. I didn't watch it. I did get one quote here that I ran across. Quote, "Our current president has failed in his most basic duty to the nation," Biden said. "He has failed to protect us. He has failed to protect America. My fellow Americans, that is unforgivable. As president, I will make you a promise. I will protect America." So there you go. Joe Biden, the, what is he, 77, 78 years old? The 77-year-old man will step in the gap, and he would have been able to defeat this coronavirus, and he'll protect us from everything else. It's one of those kind of pet peeves I have where the presidents constantly come out and say Trump's guilty of it, Obama, Bush, everybody says that their first job is to keep the American people safe. It is not. It is to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States as their first and basically their main obligation as president of the United States, not to protect us. But pardon me if I don't think that the 77-year-old Joe Biden is going to be the protector, not much less do we need him. A little bit of financial news. I didn't report on this yesterday. It had come out before I got on air, but I didn't mention it. 1.1 million people lost their jobs last week. Now, these are amazing numbers. During the height of the financial crisis in 2008-2009, I think the highest weeks in that period were somewhere in the 650,000 range. And we have had something like 21 weeks or something with just about a million, maybe dipping below a million only for two of those weeks. Millions of people lost their jobs. Another 1.1 million people lost their jobs last week. But do not fret, it's not all bad news. As the coronavirus pandemic wreaks havoc on economies and millions face losing their jobs as companies offload as many workers in order to stay afloat, some of the world's richest people have only seen more slide into their accounts. Tech giants are the big winners of the pandemic, with Amazon continuing its meteoric rise as one of the most valuable companies on Earth, and its owner Jeff Bezos, by far the wealthiest man on the face of the planet. Since the start of the year, when COVID-19 first emerged in China, seven billionaires have made a combined $252 billion. So, let's not get all wrapped up in the bad news of 1.1 average Americans losing their jobs, but really think about the seven who have benefited so tremendously. I talked yesterday about Apple now being a $2 trillion company. Walmart's doing great. Target's doing great. Small local businesses, not so much, but we got to be glass half full type people. There was a chart that I ran across yesterday, kind of poor form for a radio show, but I do it anyway because when charts shock me, I try to narrate them for us here on the show. There was a chart. This guy's making me unlock the story with a Patreon donation. Okay, well, he didn't do that to me yesterday. There was a chart that showed that the debt to Americans over the last, since 1970, I believe, that the population had risen by, what was it? Oh, I'm going to butcher this now because I can't see the thing. And it was something along the line, so I'm going to have to kind of paraphrase and give you just a... It was essentially that the population had gone up by 80% during the time of this graph, but the debt had increased 38 times during this time, which calls into question, really. Kind of makes me feel like maybe they're not spending the money on the people. You ever get that feeling? You ever get the feeling that all of this debt... all of this money printing, maybe it's not for us. I mean, when you have just an 80% increase in population, yet the amount spent goes up by 38 times, it kind of, because I don't know anybody who necessarily has seen their salary or even benefits go up 38 times over the past 40, 50 years, but that's what this chart said. So anyway, again, I call this the reverse Robin Hood rescue plan. What we're seeing right now and is showing itself in these statistics that nobody will talk about. The globalists, as of right now, are getting richer and richer and richer. The tech titans, the left-leaning tech titans, are getting richer and richer. The W-shaped recovery, in terms of Wall Street, for Walmart and Amazon, and Target, Facebook, Google, those things are tearing off while 1.1 million more people, regular old Joes out here with no power, have lost their jobs. It is truly something to behold. Got word today, I need to kind of flesh out the details of it, but one of our great sponsors here, WYAB, YourPie, out there in Gluckstadt, I'm sure I'll do another plug for them later because, to me, weekends are pizza time. You need to get out to YourPie and check it out if you hadn't gotten out there during the week. But they are struggling now with even trying to find staff. They're hiring right now for their day shifts. And one of the reasons is, I mean, you know, the owner's exasperated as he should be with 10% unemployment, supposedly. This is the juiced number. Unemployment is probably, I don't know what it is specifically in Mississippi or central Mississippi, but really unemployment is somewhere in the 17 to 19% range if you look at the number of people on unemployment, not the juiced statistic that BLS gives us, Bureau of Labor Statistics. But it's difficult to even find people for kind of entry-level jobs right now because they've been getting so much for unemployment that employers can't coax people off of the couch. This is where we are right now. And so they have been struggling to find help. If you know anybody, there's any college kids that are sitting home taking a gap year, taking a semester off to not involve themselves in the ridiculous virtual learning that these hysterical reactions to COVID have wrought, and they're looking for work, YourPie up in Gluckstadt is hiring for those day shifts. Great way to pick up some money and get a job, and they certainly could use your help. They're up at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. They got fantastic food right now for lunch for temporarily. They're just doing pickup, and you can also get their food delivered if you get the Waiter app and download that, find YourPie. But anyway, great, great business. It's just one of these stories. You just hate to see it, particularly as a libertarian when I realize how the government gets in and can screw up anything it touches, absolutely anything it touches, including not only shutting these small businesses down, but as they try to reopen and reemerge, then the government comes in with these ridiculous unemployment benefits that actually discourage people from getting jobs, which also makes small employers have to pay more to attract people to get off of unemployment and back into the workforce. So it's just like a triple, quadruple whammy on these small businesses, all at the hands of both local, state, and federal government policies. Truly, truly sad. But as I say, there's always the good news that the tech titans are doing great. Seven billionaires made $252 billion between the seven of them during the coronavirus. So we can hang our hat on that. Doesn't that make you feel all warm and fuzzy?
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
The arrest of Steve Bannon to be pretty interesting. I have not seen a lot of defense of Steve Bannon. Well, I really kind of expected it more along the lines of this being a political arrest. Seems to be people are kind of accepting the premise of this thing. I could be wrong. If you disagree, if you think this is, you smell a rat, 601-879-0002. A couple of things that Trump has commented on the last couple of days, and this was one of them where he talked about talked about not only Steve Bannon himself, Bannon being the architect of really Trump's rise, his initial campaign guy, really kind of gave him his talking points. And I would imagine really Steve Bannon probably more than anybody else, including Trump himself, is the reason that you have a President Trump right now. I think Steve Bannon was the one that encouraged him to really kind of go out on some of the limbs to differentiate himself from the rest of the Republican pack. Trump certainly had some different ideas than a lot of the Republicans, and Steve Bannon saw that in him and decided to help him craft his message. Bannon arrested yesterday. This was Trump's press conference yesterday. I asked about this. There were a couple things about it that were kind of surprising to me.
Likewise, in our campaign and for a small part of the administration very early on, I haven't been dealing with him at all. I know nothing about the project other than I didn't like when I read about it. I didn't like it. I said, this is for government. This isn't for private people. And it sounded to me like showboating. And I think I let my opinion be very strongly stated at the time. I didn't like it. It was showboating and maybe looking for funds. But you'll have to see what happens. I think it's a very sad thing for Mr. Bannon. I think it's surprising. But this was something, as you know, just by reading social media and by reading whatever it is, and by speaking to Mike and all of them, I didn't like that project. I thought that was a project that was being done for showboating reasons. I don't know that he was in charge. I didn't know any of the other people either. But it's sad. It's very sad.
Respectfully, sir, it's not just Steve Bannon. It's Roger Stone. It's Michael Flynn. It's Rick Gates, Paul Manafort, Michael Cohen. What's it say about your judgment that these are the kind of people
well,
who are
affiliated no idea.
With and the culture of lawlessness around people
well,
who are
no, there
involved
was great
in
lawlessness in the Obama campaign. Administration. They spied on our campaign illegally. And if you look at all of the things and all of the scandals they had tremendous lawlessness. But I know nothing about I was not involved in the project. I have no idea who was. But I can tell you I didn't know that.
So I was pretty surprised by that answer. Trump apparently was not a big fan of the We Build the Wall, and I was curious in hearing that answer. The reason it surprised me more than anything else was because 500,000 people donated to We Build the Wall. With 500,000 people donating, I'm curious to know if anybody locally here, anybody listening right now, did you make a contribution to We Build the Wall, this effort? I didn't know Steve Bannon was involved in it either. But Trump very dismissive of that effort, which is was pretty surprising to me. He also kind of distanced himself from Steve Bannon himself. The We Build the Wall thing to me was interesting to watch, just because I think it showed exactly what we're up against with that kind of project, because you've got 500,000 people who donated to it. And they still only raised $25 million for a wall that is really, in all likelihood, going to cost. Well, I'll tell you, these are government numbers. If the government does ever did a full wall, which they will not, the wall will never be built. If they were to do a full wall, it would cost $100 billion because it's probably a $20 billion job, and the government will certainly find a way to end up spending five times that to get anything done. I kind of like the idea of a private group, voluntary citizens reaching into their pockets and doing something for themselves. We could solve an awful lot of problems in this country if that's what we were empowered to do. And I don't like Trump saying, look, this is a government job. It really is. I mean, I kind of agree with him in one sense, in that there's only a couple of things that the government is actually supposed to do. And I would imagine protecting the borders of the United States is one of them. And they don't do that one. They do a million things that they shouldn't be at all near. They shouldn't be in charge of health care. They shouldn't be in charge of retirement. They shouldn't be in charge of taking money from all of our paychecks. There's a million things that the government does that I believe are unconstitutional, that certainly are just powers that are given to the states at the very least. But the government should be protecting our borders, although, as I say, it's kind of nice to see people volunteer. Look, I'm for voluntarily just about doing just about anything. If AOC and Bernie Sanders want to lead a socialist movement in this country and ask a bunch of people to put money into a big pot and then take it out equally, they want to do that voluntarily, I say knock yourselves out. Number one, I know it won't last very long because the animus that will arise from the people who put the most in against the people who take the most out without contributing will sabotage the effort very quickly. But I'm for all kinds of voluntary things. And if you want to collect money to build a wall, then I think that that's something that at least it shows a little bit of power from the people. But Trump didn't sound like he was much of a fan of this thing. And when he started calling it showboating, that really kind of surprised me, too. Again, 500,000 people donated to that wall. And I'm very curious to know what they think about the president saying they were just trying to showboat. I would imagine that 500,000 people were some of the people that voted him into office and are desperate to try to control illegal immigration, so much so that they would reach into their own pockets to fund a part of the wall to help his effort in controlling our southern border. And for that to be cast as some kind of a showboating effort was surprising to me, but it doesn't seem to have rippled through anywhere. I haven't seen any real anger for that, but I don't know where I would see conservatives actually speak up, people who are pro border control, that would actually say something against Donald Trump at this particular time. But it was pretty surprising to me. That's 500,000 people that seemed like they could have been put off overnight with those kind of sentiments. I've got a couple of other clips from Trump yesterday. And one was an interview on Maria Bartiromo's show, The Money Honey, that came from CNBC to Fox, talking about the Russia investigation and collusion. I had a couple of points to make of that. You probably won't hear anywhere else, so stick around with me. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. If I missed anything earth-shattering at the DNC last night with Joe Biden's speech, but from what I understand, it was relatively coherent. You know, the expectations were so low. But I certainly wasn't going to spend – I thought he was supposed to speak for like an hour, hour and a half. Maybe they didn't have enough pharmaceuticals to get him through that amount of time. Supposedly it was a 25-minute speech. From what I saw, it was kind of interesting. It sounds like the context of that speech, had it been Donald Trump, would have been described as dark and divisive. But with Joe Biden, it was powerful and, you know, drew a distinction, drew a line in the sand. So anyway, if there's anything that I'm missing, but I'm just glad it's over. To be honest with you, I'm going to be glad when this whole thing is over. The whole election season. I'm throwing away layups here. Conservative talk radio lives for these kinds of moments where you can look at what the nut jobs on the left say for a week in their speeches and talk about them endlessly. It's just so boring to me. It is so wildly boring and so monotonous. It's the same thing every 4 years, this line of distinction. I know everybody thinks this is the really serious one. The left has gotten so nut jobby that it does feel like it's a dire situation to keep the left out of control. But to be honest with you, it's just boring to me. It's just flat out boring to me. I did see on the news this morning, they were showing, I can't remember what college this was at. It might've been Clemson. A lot of orange in the picture. Followed a student around during one of his days. Wakes up, he goes and buys some milk at a vending machine in the union, and then he goes to the cafeteria, and then he goes to classes, and then the reporter goes and interviews the people that are in this big kind of command center room with these giant screens on the wall, and they pull this kid's name up, and they basically have got everywhere he went, and they talk about, look, well, he swiped his card here. We've got Wi-Fi everywhere, and so we monitor him here. He went into this classroom for this many minutes, and then he went to this classroom for this many minutes, and this is the path he took between. It was so incredibly creepy. And it's all about contact tracing, which is just going to make the fall semester, if they keep this hysteria up, which they will, and wait till I get to next hour. There's a new thing coming, the twindemic. The twindemic, that is the flu and COVID-19. The twindemic, this is what we're going to be hearing about come this fall. I'm already depressed about it. I'll be honest with you. This is really a hard time to go through as some level of an independent thinker. And I know a lot of people share my frustration on that. We've also got the twin hurricanes coming. 2020 is really shaping up to be something, isn't it? Never happened before. Al Roker was very excited this morning that we've never seen, I guess these two hurricanes are projected to come 450 miles apart. It looks like we are going to be right there in the cleavage between the two cones. I don't know what that means for us, but I started picturing the winds going one way on one, and then as they both rotate, if they come together, it seems to me that this is just going to be a tornado outbreak like we have never seen before. I didn't hear that mentioned. It's just logically to me, when I start thinking about the wind directions of these two storms coming right next to each other, it seems like that's going to be something to behold, but hopefully I'm wrong about that. But again, it's 2020. So we'll see exactly what shape the storms take. Next week will be the Republican convention. I'll probably pay about as much attention to it as I paid to this one, I'm sorry to say. But anyway, I've got other things to look at. I found a couple of clips that I thought were interesting. Let me see if I've got these things here. I am, like many people, ready to see the indictments from the corruption at the DOJ, but I'm unlike a lot of people in that I have no faith that they are actually coming. Klein Smith was arrested, the attorney who falsified a document. He's the first one that has seems to have been pay a price, and some people think this opens up the floodgates. I have a feeling it's one of the first small fries to go down, but I'm hoping I'm wrong. The money honey, Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business News asked Donald Trump about this, and he says something kind of interesting towards the end about William Barr.
They spied on my campaign, which is treason. They spied both before and after I won. Think of that. Using the intelligence apparatus of the United States to take down a president, a legally elected president, a duly elected president of the United States. It's the single biggest political crime in the history of our country. And I hope they're doing a job. I hope they're not going to be politically correct and say, well, you know, we want to go just get, let's get the lower guys that forged the documents going into FISA. Uh-huh. Let's just get a couple of the lower guys. I hope they're not going to be. Bill Barr can go down as the greatest attorney general in the history of our country, or he can go down as just an average guy. It depends on what's going to happen.
That was strange to me. First of all, I'll address the first thing, that this is the greatest political crime in the history of our country. I'm going to play next hour these some Robert Kennedy Jr. talking about the assassinations of both John Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy when he was a candidate for president. This was very egregious. There definitely was corruption and spying. All these things went on from Obama officials and Obama Justice Department. But as far as the worst political crime, I got to say, capping a sitting president in broad daylight in Dallas and then getting away with it and then killing his brother a few years later from these intelligence agencies seems to me, to me, that was actually a complete coup. It was a coup here in the United States. Whether you like John Kennedy or not, I was raised to think that John Kennedy was terrible because he was a Democrat. I've come to have some admiration for several of the things he was trying to do when they popped him. But if you want to talk about the biggest political crime in the history of the United States, I think it was the broad daylight assassinations of of JFK, and then the kitchen assassination of RFK. a little bit worse. And then the second point I wanted to make on this, what I found interesting was that Trump said, you know, I hope William Barr does this. William Barr can go down in history this way or that way. He made a terrible hire in William Barr. I'm scratching my head about it, and it's kind of interesting to me. I'm wondering who is making these recommendations to Trump. If Trump is an outsider that is committed to taking down the deep state, as he says, who recommended that he hire an attorney general that started with the CIA, went on to be an attorney general under H.W. Bush? Now, there's a lot of conservatives out there that are awake to the idea that the Bush family is part of the deep state, that the Bush family is that nexus of kind of a Republican establishment that wants things to keep going like they've been going. And somebody came to Donald Trump when Sessions was removed and said, well, we've got the guy for you. And he hired who I can only describe as probably one of the swampiest creatures in Donald Trump's administration. Now, I know a lot of people disagree with me on this. You find William Barr to be a patriot, but his resume does not inspire confidence that he is going to somehow take down the deep state, because he grew up and he got his bones in the deep state. And it's interesting. It seems like Donald Trump maybe doesn't know this, and that he's just waiting to see if William Barr is actually going to prosecute any of these higher level criminals. Now, again, I'm ready to be wrong on this, and I can't wait to come on air and say that I was wrong and that there was a plan and this was all unfolding behind the scenes. But William Barr, it just seems to me at the end of that clip that Donald Trump doesn't maybe have a lot of faith in the fact that William Barr is assuring him that these investigations are going to go to the very top. I know we've got the Durham report coming. Everybody's expecting a lot out of that. I have my suspicions that it will be another dud. But anyway, I found that a little interesting myself, in that it doesn't seem like Donald Trump has a whole lot of confidence that the whole plot of the Russia collusion stuff is going to be taken down from the top down. Sounds like he's just hoping that that's what it is, and challenging William Barr from afar to do just that. A little bit of a trigger alert. I got one more break in this hour, and I'm going to come back. It was interesting. Donald Trump was asked about QAnon, and I found his answer to that to be equally interesting. Be right back. All
night with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, I guess I should issue one of my trigger alerts here. I'm probably going to make some people upset here, and I probably should leave this for a longer segment and maybe take some calls. I even know some people I probably will upset with this. Q has kind of come, this QAnon movement. I'm surprised more people don't know about it, but it's gained a lot of traction during the pandemic. There's a lot of people at Trump rallies that were in Q t-shirts and holding up Q signs and these kinds of things. And the idea of Q, if you don't know who QAnon is somebody with special clearance who drops very cryptic messages about things that are going on behind the scenes at the Trump administration, and it has developed into quite a movement with a lot of people thinking that Q is on the inside and that what we see on the outside of the Trump administration is basically a distraction, that the real action's going on behind the scenes. I am not a Q follower. The Q thing is odd to me. Now, I'm ready to be wrong about everything. I want to have faith that Donald Trump behind the scenes is busting the pedophiles and is getting ready to lock up the Clintons and the rest of these ideas, that soon we're going to have this this cleaning up of Washington, D.C. It started out there were 6 sealed indictments, and then the next thing I heard, there were 25 sealed indictments, and then there were 40, and then there were 600, and now there's something like, I don't know, 11,000 sealed indictments, or I don't know what the number has gotten to in Washington, D.C. I lost faith in politicians a long time ago, and nothing that I've ever seen from Q or the Q drops, as they call them, I think. Never seen any of that that necessarily gave me any indication that any of these things were actually coming on. But you cannot tell anybody who is a believer in Q that that it's not real. I actually have clips. I may get into it some next week. There's clips from people, interviews with people that say they were there at the beginning of the Q thing and that it was just a LARP. What is that? Live action role playing. But people will say that that is misdirection. I mean, it's a very, very odd phenomenon to me. I think that a lot of the people who would consider themselves some of the biggest patriots out there that do love this country and voted for Donald Trump because they wanted to see him bust apart some of this machine that's been rolling over all of us for years, I think the Q movement has had a lot of them stand down and accept a lot of the things that are actually happening in the Trump administration that I take issue with because they have this faith that behind the scenes things are working and it's all going to be great in the end. And I've been kind of surprised that those people haven't been, you know, when you talk about federal troops in the streets, when you talk about the wars still going on in the Middle East, there's a lot of things. The debt, the Q movement has got an idea that the debt, that this is actually a controlled taking down of the globalists. The funny thing is that the globalists keep getting richer, and so I guess I'm a little... I can't suspend disbelief long enough to understand the tech billionaires. Like I said earlier today, 7 of them have made $252 billion over the last 6 months. The global corporations are bigger than ever, and the Federal Reserve is bigger and more powerful than ever. It's very hard for me to believe that this is the beginning of taking them down, but I don't have time to get in all this. Yesterday, Trump was asked about Q, and so, again, as I say, I probably should have done this in a longer segment because there are people who follow Q, and I'd be interested for them to explain Trump's remarks on Q when he was asked, I think it was yesterday or day before.
The QAnon movement appears to be gaining a lot of followers. Can you talk about what you think about that and what you have to say to people who are following this movement right now?
Well, I don't know much about the movement other than I understand they like me very much, which I appreciate. But I don't know much about the movement. I have heard that it is gaining in popularity, and from what I've heard, these are people that when they watch the streets of Portland, when they watch what happened in New York City in just the last 6 or 7 months, but this was starting even 4 years ago when I came here, almost 4 years, can you believe it? These are people that don't like seeing what's going on in places like Portland and places like Chicago and New York and other cities and states. And I've heard these are people that love our country and they just don't like seeing it. So I don't know really anything about it other than they do supposedly like me.
The crux of the theory is this belief that you are secretly saving the world from this satanic cult of pedophiles and cannibals. Does that sound like something you are behind?
Well, I haven't heard that, but... is that supposed to be a bad thing or a good thing? I mean, you know, if I can help save the world from problems, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to put myself out there. And we are, actually. We're saving the world from a radical left philosophy that will destroy this country. And when this country is gone, the rest of the world would follow.
So, how does the Q follower interpret that? Is that Donald Trump, who actually does know? Now, I know that Trump's supposed to be in on this himself because I've seen a lot of videos of supposedly Trump making Q-shaped hand motions or signaling the Q movement at some of his rallies. It's all kind of very esoteric stuff. And look, I'm a conspiracy theory guy because so many theories turn into conspiracy fact. That I'm not somebody above seeing something going on behind the scenes that we're not privy to. It's just that the Q movement, to my knowledge, is not proved itself in any way. I haven't seen the arrests. I haven't seen. Now, on top of Trump saying he doesn't know anything about them, Vice President Mike Pence is dismissing QAnon as a, quote, conspiracy theory, unquote, drawing a line in the distinction between himself and the president, who earlier this week suggested he appreciated supporters of the theory back in his candidacy. Quote, we dismiss conspiracy theories around here out of hand, Pence said Friday on CNN's New Day, saying he had heard Trump's comments and subsequently decrying the media that chases after shiny object. Asked on CBS's CBS This Morning if he was inflaming attention on the group by not going on the record to oppose it, Pence decried, quote, spending time on a major network to talk about some conspiracy online theory, I don't know anything about QAnon and I dismiss it out of hand. This was Mike Pence. So to the Q supporters out there, I'm sure that this is somehow just a misdirection by the president and the vice president, that they are feigning that they don't know anything about this, yet at the same time they're actually leading it, but they've got to keep the media in the dark. I mean, I can kind of flesh out in my mind what the ideas around that would be. My problem with the Q movement is we're 3.5 years, almost 4 years into the Trump administration. I saw Hillary Clinton on television last night just commenting on a story. She's certainly not in chains anywhere. Unless this is a double? I got to tell you, I did notice Hillary Clinton. They say that the presidency ages you. We saw George Bush aged. We saw Barack Obama's hair go gray during his administration. I'll be honest, Trump seems to be holding up pretty well. He looks exactly the same as he did when he started. Hillary Clinton, not so much. Oh, she looked terrible on this thing. She really, now that's no knock against anybody who necessarily ages, but she seems to be doing it rather quickly. She didn't look great. But the bottom line is, she's not been arrested. To my knowledge, she's really not been harassed in any way. And we are talking about an election that is how many days away? 75, 72 days away, something like that. So when exactly is this supposed to happen? And is there any, if there's a chance that Joe Biden wins, then where was the action that was promised by the Q movement? If Trump gets a second term, did everybody anticipate? Because I've seen a lot of deadlines. It's like the Iraqi dinar. I've talked about it before. A lot of people thought the Iraqi dinar was going to revalue. After the invasion of Iraq, it's probably started around 2005, 2007 area, people said, you need to buy the Iraqi dinar because they're going to revalue it. It's going to make you a millionaire. People were going out. I know people who took out hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy the Iraqi dinar because it was going to pay off in the tens of millions. And each date that came up where the dinar was supposed to revalue, they all got excited. And then the news would come out, oh, it's not going to happen today. Such and such happened. The State Department did this or did that. It's not going to happen today. But in 6 months, it's for sure. And I watched people have such faith in that year after year after year. There are some people who still are waiting for the Iraqi dinar to be revalued to make millions of dollars. They will not let go of that idea about the Iraqi dinar, yet it has never happened and never will happen. And faith is an amazing thing. And when it comes to the Q movement, I think the faith is misplaced. I guess we'll see if I'm right or wrong.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right. right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. It's Friday, so I've got a couple of regular segments to end my Friday shows. First one is right now. It's False Flag Friday. I kind of have narrated over the years the ways that people around the world, but particularly here in the United States, that we are lied into endless wars. It's what's caused this problem. And I've got a few things. There is still foreign policy stuff going on, and in my opinion, some foreign policy disasters still unfolding right now under the tutelage of Mike Pompeo, the resident warmonger that Trump, for some strange reason, has put in as Secretary of State. We're going to talk about what's going on around there, and then I'm going to get into this clip from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., where he investigated intelligence connections to the death of his uncle and his father, which I found pretty interesting to listen to the son of Robert F. Kennedy explain what his research turned up. A couple of quick stories, though. We're still in Syria, and I'll just read from the story. Despite the Syria war long falling out of the headlines, here's your weekly reminder that American forces are not only still occupying the northeast section of the country, but apparently flying so many aircraft overhead that they are colliding midair. The U.S. lost two drones over Syria Tuesday after a midair collision, a defense official tells Military Times. Military Times ran that story. So we're running so many drones. Now, I meant to look up. These were, I believe, Predator drones that were flying over Syria. Not sure what that cost, but I'm telling you, it wasn't cheap. So we just lost two drones flying over Syria, which is absolutely no threat to the United States, yet we maintain our presence there. And it's not without a cost or danger either. Stealing oil, which is what we're doing right now in Syria. We have cordoned off the Syrian oil fields and have now given a deal to a U.S. oil company to come in and take the oil. And I say this again. What would we think if the Chinese came over to the United States and overtook the West Texas oil fields? Would we feel like they were justified in that some way, or do you think that people in Texas and around the country might rise up and take exception to that? So we are stealing Syrian oil based on nothing. I mean, it's flat-out theft. But it doesn't come without a cost. The largest U.S. base in Syria was targeted by a number of missiles in the eastern countryside of the Deir ez-Zor governorate on Tuesday, according to reports from eastern Syria. The U.S. base at Conoco oil fields. I mean, seriously, people, why do we allow this to happen? According to reports from eastern Syria, the U.S. base at the Conoco oil fields was targeted with a number of rockets fired by unknown group in the Deir ez-Zor countryside. Despite no group claiming responsibility for the attack, the U.S. coalition and their allies from the Syrian Democratic Forces have been facing heavy opposition from the Arab tribes inside that governorate. Most recently, the Syrian Democratic Forces and Al-Aqidat tribe clashed along the eastern bank of the Euphrates River, culminating in a series of events that led to a number of tribes getting involved in the hostilities. As geopolitical analysis site Moon of Alabama underscores, Trump's Secure the Oil plan is increasingly on shaking ground, giving it's keeping American troops in the middle of a war zone on someone else's sovereign territory and with unclear and confused objectives to boot. So we are still there, and our troops are taking on fire. There was a story the other day, some video actually came out, of some of these tribes are getting in the way of the roads and not allowing U.S. troops to pass. These tribes are armed. There was some gunfire, and I believe one of the tribes member was killed and two were wounded, taking on American fire when they tried to block the roads. Again, this is their country. And Conoco Oil is reaping the profits while our troops pay the price for this thing. Stunning to me that we allow that kind of stuff to continue. That has not stopped. Let's see. Oh, this was a real nugget. Came out last week, too. Always trying to foment wars. And, you know, the one thing about even Joe Biden presidency, boy, some of the worst warmongers from the Republican Party are the ones that are actually supporting Joe Biden now. People that, you know, some of the architects of the Iraq War are have turned tail and run to the Democratic Party. That shows you the commitment to small, limited government and free markets that these mainstream Republicans have. They don't care. They are now with Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. And so many people, we've been tricked into thinking these Republicans were our friends for years and years. But also with the media loves war, too, because they are serving this same empire system. CNN reports U.S. intelligence agencies assessed that Iran offered bounties to Taliban fighters for targeting American and coalition troops in Afghanistan, identifying payments linked to at least six attacks carried out by the militant group just last year alone, including a suicide bombing at a U.S. base in December, CNN has learned. Bounties were paid by foreign government, identified to CNN as Iran. And it goes on to say, so now not only are the Russians offering these bounties in order to stoke hostilities with Russia and lay that at Trump's feet, now CNN is carrying the warmonger line. Now Iran is the one offering these bounties to get Iran further vilified. And it appears to not have really taken hold. I hadn't heard a whole lot about it, but what's sad is that, unfortunately, Donald Trump is going along with this Iran hysteria stuff, and we've just laid more sanctions at him again.
Today, I'm directing the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, to notify the UN Security Council that the United States intends to restore virtually all of the previously suspended United Nations sanctions on Iran. It's a snapback, not uncommon. 2 years ago, I withdrew the United States from the disastrous Iran nuclear deal, which was a product of the Obama-Biden foreign policy failure, a failure like few people have seen in terms of the amount of money we paid for absolutely nothing and a short-term deal. This deal funneled tens of billions of dollars to Iran, $150 billion to be exact, plus $1.8 billion in cash, which I don't know that the president had the authority to give, but gave $1.8 billion in cash. Just another great deal that turned out to be a total disaster that would have funded all of the chaos and the bloodshed and the terror in the region and all throughout the world. And I won't say anything because I don't like saying it, but Iran doesn't have so much money to give to the world anymore, to the terrorists.
Yeah, this is always fascinating to me that we have been fighting ISIS and Al-Qaeda all of this time, right? Isn't that what the big boogeyman? It's why we allow blue-shirted agents at the airport to molest our grandparents and our children in the TSA. We given up all these rights and allowed this because we were fighting ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra and all these Sunni groups. The whole war on terror is predicated on fighting Sunni terrorists. Iran is Shia. Iran also fights against ISIS and Al-Nusra and Al-Qaeda. But vast majority of Americans have no idea the difference between Sunni and Shia. So it's laid at the feet of Iran. And I'm not any fan of the Iranian government or any Shia militia groups. But the idea that the chaos unleashed around the world lays at the feet of Iran is absolutely laughable. Our whole war on terror is based on the terrorist groups that are backed by Saudi Arabia and other Sunni Muslim countries. Absolutely amazing. And Trump also doing his bit there on giving the Iranians $150 billion. I hate to have to even say it again. That was their money that was frozen. It was just unfrozen. I'm no Barack Obama fan, but we can at least deal with some facts. Anyway, there's also been headlines on Breitbart kind of crowing about the fact that Iran has had 20,000 people die from coronavirus. And I think, what a sick, sick world. We sanction them as hard as we possibly can, choking them off of commerce with other countries. If anybody dares send medicine or things like that to Iran, we then lay sanctions on those firms or those executives or those countries themselves, and then we crow about the fact that they've had a high death count in Iran. Our foreign policy is an absolute disaster. It's very disappointing to me that Trump has not completely and wholeheartedly changed the direction of it. And I'm very fearful that for those people who say, well, at least he hasn't started another war, if Trump gets a second term, and I think it's certainly very likely at this point, if Trump gets a second term, I'll bet you anything that this Iran thing does not stay as this cold, just sanction war and siege war to Iran, that thing goes hot because there will no longer be a need to live up to that campaign promise of getting us out of the Middle East, and we'll get deeper in. There will be some incident that says that we need to go into Iran. Iran did this, Iran did that. We're slowly strangling them. But when I come back, I want to get into this RFK stuff. It's this False Flag Friday. It talks about the dishonesty, the way that things happen behind the scenes that are how Americans are lied to, and just a little bit from Shadowgate, too. I haven't talked about that. Very interesting documentary put out by Millie Weaver that a lot of people have seen. Went viral until, of course, YouTube and Google and the tech titans took it down and censored it, but it is up on a site called Banned Video. It's called Shadowgate. I just got a real quick clip to play from that because I think it should give somebody, should give everybody a little something to think about. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, Shadowgate. I'm going to play a quick clip from Shadowgate. I watched it one time. It was interesting, but it's pretty deep, and I needed to watch it again. Then YouTube pulled it down. Now I've got a new link to it. I'll probably watch it again. It's by Millie Weaver, and she was arrested, and there's thoughts about that. But I don't have time to get into that today. But I wanted to play this one part of and it's all about this attempted coup against Donald Trump by the deep state. That's the essentially for this. It's on Banned Video. That's banned.video. So that's where you can watch this if you want to see the documentary yourself. It's, I think, about an hour and a half long, something like that. Anyway, this is one part of it I thought was just a bit of a teachable moment.
More alarming. Both parties are equally guilty of covering up what should turn out to be an even bigger scandal, Shadowgate. The tactical and operational role the shadow government played behind the scenes, carrying out the coup against President Trump. We're going to be looking behind the puppets at who the real puppet master string pullers are. The material presented in this documentary should concern people of all political affiliations. This is about real players, people whose names never come up, but should. Career politicians are definitely part of the Beltway swamp, even aspects of the deep state, but they are not the shadow government. The shadow government consists of government contractors, defense, intelligence, security, and so on. Our government mostly consists of front-facing desk jockeys.
The reason I play that's about all I got time for right now. It's so funny to me. I don't quite understand this, that conservatives, Trump supporters in particular, have seen this coup. They've seen the Department of Justice. They've seen the intelligence services doing their little tricks. And yet conservative politicians, so-called conservatives, Republican politicians go out and talk about this tremendous funding for the defense industry to boost defense spending. We are now at around $1 trillion. Between the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, CIA, all of the three-letter agencies. Why in the world is everybody so enthusiastic about shoving money towards these agencies, knowing what you know about these agencies and witnessing what we've witnessed during the presidency of Donald Trump, particularly in his taking power back in 2016? It's like people don't make the connection that you're giving hundreds of billions of dollars to these groups, to these contractors in these big defense budgets. I guess people think they're sending it to the soldiers, that you're somehow enriching our troops by this endless defense spending. It could not be further from the truth. So I think it's a bit of a teachable moment to just start to connect this idea that these agencies, these defense contractors, are behind a lot of these problems. Quit cheering for giving them more and more and more money. This is a pretty long clip, so I want to get it in. This was an interview Ron Paul, former Republican congressman from Texas, did with Robert Kennedy Jr. And a lot of it was about vaccines. I played a lot of this on Wednesday's show, but he talked a little bit about CIA and JFK and RFK's assassinations. I thought it was very interesting to hear what his research turned up.
democracy. And, you know, when Americans thought of secret police, they thought of the Stasi, they thought of the KGB, they thought of the Gestapo. And they said, and there were debates about this in Congress when we were, you know, originally launching the CIA. And both Republicans and Democrats said, this is not something we should be doing. But when they started it exclusively as an espionage organization, which meant spying. Mm-hmm. It meant intelligence gathering. It did not mean interfering. And so then, you know, Alan Dulles, as you know, kind of manipulated the law and did a lot of kind of backroom deals to get these huge secret budgets and began really engaging in all of the mischief. And my grandfather was on a commission that looked at this and saw what they had done in, you know, when they were overthrowing democracies in Guatemala and Iran and all over the world. And he said, we should dismantle it. We should remove the plans division, which was the dirty tricks division from espionage. And Alan Dulles never forgave him or my family for that. And then when my uncle came in and did the Bay of Pigs, well, and then fired Dulles. So I always believed that even from when I was a little kid, when President Johnson came into the room in the East Room of the White House, I was standing beside my father when he said to my father that, that Lee Harvey Oswald had just been killed by Jack Ruby. He told my father and Jackie that. And I said to my father, I said, did Jack Ruby love our family? And nobody answered that question. You know, later my father did his own research and found out that he was connected to the mob and to the CIA and to all these. My father's initial belief was the CIA had killed his brother. I always believed that, and I think you'd be an idiot not to believe what the congressional investigation found out in 85, which is President Kennedy was killed by a conspiracy. But I never believed that about my dad. And I just believed that Sirhan, evidence against him was overwhelming and he had confessed to the crime. There was evidence found in his room. And then Paul Schrade, who was one of my dad's best friends and who was standing beside my father when he was shot, and Paul took a bullet to his head at that time. He took the first of Sirhan's bullets. And he said to me, your father was not killed by Sirhan. And I need you to look at the autopsy report and look at this evidence. And as a favor, I did not want to do that. I didn't want to get into all the conspiracy theories. But as a favor to Paul, because he was such a hero, he was the one who introduced my dad to Cesar Chavez. He was the number two guy at the United Auto Workers and was just a stalwart, you know, friend of our families. I went to his house in LA, outside of LA, and I sat down with him for a couple of days. I went through the autopsy report, all this other stuff. And by the end of that, it was clear to me that Sirhan could not have killed my father. Wow. And my father was killed by four shots that were all fired from behind him. Sirhan fired two shots. He was across a steam table. He never got behind my father. My father was always facing him. He was 6 to 10 feet away. And Sirhan fired two shots. The first one hit Paul Schrade. The second one hit a door jamb behind my father, right past his head, and hit a door jamb. And then he was grabbed by Rosie Grier and Rafer Johnson and all these other people. And there was a dog pile, and they took the gun hand and they pointed it away from my father, but they couldn't get the gun from him. He fired six more shots, and all of those shots hit people. So we know where the shots all landed. There were 14 shots fired, and his gun only had eight. It was a revolver with eight chambers in it. It never reloaded. So. And the four shots that hit my dad all came from behind, and Thomas Noguchi, who was the greatest coroner in American history, his finding is that every one of those was contact shots, that the barrel of the gun was touching my father at the time they were fired, and they were fired from behind at an upward angle. And you know, I think the guy who probably pulled the trigger is a guy called Eugene Thayne Caesar, who was a CIA agent. He worked for Lockheed. Wow. He was working that night as a security guard. He had gotten the job 4 days before. Wow. He was waiting for my father in the kitchen. And when my father went through the Ambassador Hotel kitchen, he grabbed him by his right arm or his left arm and was standing behind him when the shots were fired, and he had pulled his own gun, which was also a .22, and he was seen, and he admitted that he had pulled his gun, but he said, and my father, when my father fell, he fell onto Caesar. And, you know, if you look at the MK Ultra manual about, you know, they have a whole section that the CIA was experimenting on creating these Manchurian candidates. And what the psychiatrists who were working for them said is that it took them a year to turn somebody into a Manchurian candidate, somebody who would actually commit a murder involuntarily. But they said they could make a distractor in 3 months, and they could make it out of anybody.
Okay. So there you go. I mean, this has always been fascinating stuff to me. Again, Trump says the Russia collusion hoax was the biggest political scandal of all time. I got to tell you, killing both of the Kennedys, whether you like the Kennedys or not, these defense agencies, these CIA involvement in these things seems to be, from the evidence, pretty darn clear. And yet, for some reason, they get a complete pass on it. And it's also striking to hear that him saying that this was a CIA guy who worked at Lockheed Martin. You know, Lockheed Martin pays no price. They killed a presidential candidate while he was campaigning, a pretty popular guy that would have kept us out of the Vietnam War. Anyway, that is what the world is like. It's amazing that we have a media so uninterested in a crime of that magnitude that they won't investigate it, won't report on it, and still kids right now are learning in school, and most people still don't believe it right now, but a lot of people still believe that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in the book depository in Dallas that day. It is amazing, these coups, these backrooms thing of intelligence agencies and the shadow government or deep state or whatever you want to call it, is nothing new. It didn't start with Donald Trump. It's been going on for decades and decades, since the 1950s for sure. And I just say it would be really nice to see people, particularly conservatives and Republicans, not want to continue to shovel money at these organizations. But that's what you do every time you vote for more and more defense spending. Anyway, when we come back, we'll lighten it up a little bit. We're going to take a look back at the lunacy of the last week and the last couple of segments. Stay with me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Finishing up each week, we go take a look back at the lunacy of the last week. There is no shortage of that. It's good to know it's not just the United States, but we've got our fair share of crazy here, particularly when it comes to COVID. Here is, but nobody, I think, is excelling at sheer insanity and totalitarianism like Australia right now. I don't know what is going on with them. You want to talk about something that feels like it's a test to see what people will put up with. I don't know what the Australians are doing, but boy, they are being abused down there. When it comes to the vaccines, talked a lot about it on Wednesday on the Hump Day Health Show. This is their approach to it, and this is something we need to be on guard for here.
There will be strong, you know, I suspect the majority of Australians will get vaccinated, and there will be a strong public view that those who choose not to get vaccinated need to There needs to be some sort of incentive stick, perhaps, through the current programs, including No Jab, No Pay, to make that happen. So I think that is a very reasonable interpretation of what the PM had to say today. Again, looking at specific things like not being able to go into restaurants, not being able to travel internationally.
No jab, no pay. No jab, no pay. This is what they're floating in Australia. I reported on this yesterday or Wednesday. Australia is saying that their vaccines will be mandatory, even though their death rate is, I think it was, 0.00016, I believe was the fatality rate. Yet no jab, no pay coming in Australia. Was also this there.
Preparing to launch their aerial arsenal as part of a crackdown on COVID rule breakers. High-powered drones will be used to find people not wearing masks and cars too far from home.
Over the next week, Victoria Police will dispatch drones. They'll be keeping a watch on St Kilda and Port Melbourne Beach, making sure skate parks and playgrounds remain empty. And for those who head to the park, a mask is a must, or at least a face covering. Police have also been using drones to guard the New South Wales border.
There's no escaping this high-powered aerial arsenal. It can be flown for 7 kilometres. The camera is infrared, and it's so clear it can read a vehicle's number plate from 500 metres away.
Doesn't really bother me. I'm doing the right thing, so I've got nothing to hide.
Oh, there it is. If you're not doing anything wrong, what do you have to fear? Australia and is unleashing the drones on their citizens. There's a company called Vistaprint that does, they do a lot of kind of cheap printing stuff. I've used them before. I may not use them again. I want you to hear a commercial that they ran on masks.
This is not a mask. This is confidence.
It's for getting out and working anywhere other than home.
This is not a mask. This is solidarity.
It's for opening the door to a friend and keeping the doors open to your favorite places.
This is not a mask. This is a sign of love.
Oh, as it shows everybody obediently wearing their masks everywhere. But it's not actually a mask. It's a show of love and solidarity. Here was the insanity that's going on in our schooling system. This is not Babylon B. This is actually, I think this is good audio. It appears to be a father just taking this. I found this on Twitter. It's a father that is interviewing his son. His son's sitting on his couch with his laptop open, attending virtual school.
All right, we've got a little e-learning going on here today with Christopher Hammer. All right, Christopher, a lot of people feel like e-learning is kind of silly. The programs aren't as good as going to actual school. Please tell me what you're doing this morning.
Today we have a virtual fire drill where they are showing us where to walk out of the building that we are not in right now in case that building catches fire.
So let me make sure that I've got this perfectly straight here. So I want to make sure everybody's on the up and up. This is a virtual fire drill.
Yes.
So in case the building that you're not in catches on fire, you here at home will know exactly what to do.
Yes.
Turn around. Let me see that again. Just virtual fire drill, ladies and gentlemen.
And the kid is looking at the floor plan of the school, the building that he is not in. They're doing an online learning tutorial fire drill for the building that this guy is not in. Maine is in the running for one of the most ludicrous things I've ever seen. I don't know if you've seen this, but Maine Governor Mills has a new requirement for restaurant servers so that their breath moves up and away from customers. It is one of the dog cones of shame. Have you seen this? You know, when your dog has you don't want him scratching or gnawing, you put this big cone of shame around the dog. I've had to do it. It's you really feel bad for a pet. They're putting them on restaurant servers in Maine now. as a requirement. You have to. This is a bit of a visual, but you can imagine the picture they've got for this is a server with both hands on some tasty-looking plates of food, and the server is in her nice server's outfit with a black tuxedo vest on and a white shirt, and then she's wearing a bright red dog collar cone of shame on it. It's tough to be in this world these days. Here is another thing. This is what I'm warning you about. This is coming this fall. It always feels like we're just about to get out of this. The numbers are coming down again right now, right? They've actually reported in the last week. Most people have seen the death statistics. They're way down. I mean, you know, we know the situation here. This is a lot of hysteria about something that is not near as dramatic as they're trying to convince us. But my depression in this right now is not even what we're going through right now. It's what we're going to be seeing in the upcoming months, and they've got a new term for it.
Well, as the battle against COVID-19 continues, it's also time to get ready for flu season. And this year, there are concerns about a possible twindemic.
They're calling it a potential twindemic, the coronavirus pandemic still going strong at the same time flu season is approaching.
Oh. A new term. You could be hearing more this fall. Twindemic.
And she says the earlier we get our flu shots, the less likely we'll end up in a twindemic.
The earlier you get that shot, the sooner you have immunity.
This year, with the COVID-19 pandemic expected to coincide with flu season, doctors say the concern over a possible twindemic underscores the need for people to get the flu vaccine.
Do you know the term twindemic?
It's what they're calling a twindemic.
So, Tom, a twindemic is exactly how it sounds.
I want to ask you more, but is twindemic a new word? Did we just make this up, or have we experienced or used the term twindemic in the past?
As far as I know, I think it's made up, so it's specially coined for what we're going through. But it's coined, I think, based on the Latin for where the pandemic comes from. So
that makes absolutely no sense towards the end. But there it is, the twindemic. My cynical side says this is a ploy to sell more flu shots. And apparently that is the case. And, you know, when these news networks start reporting something across the spectrum, you know, somebody's behind that. I would imagine it's the pharmaceutical companies wanting to sell the flu shots. And don't worry, they'll be stocking up on them.
Supply is said to be very healthy this year. In fact, many companies have been ramping up their production. There could be as many as 15% more supply.
Millions of more doses that have been produced by the vaccine drug developers just to meet the demand that is expected.
Doctors and pharmacies are expecting higher demand, and vaccine makers are increasing production, some up to 15%.
So we do expect there should be sufficient supply.
One more reason to get your flu shot early, Dr. Wheeler said, is to avoid the crowds. It is one thing you cannot do remotely, so why not get it done early and avoid the lines?
So there you go. That's the hitting us with the flu shot already. Yep, the twindemic, it's on its way. Oh, this insanity is not going to end for months. I know a lot of people think it ends on November 4th. I'm going to disagree with you. I think the plan is to really milk this thing, make a whole lot of money, get a whole lot of control, and the twindemic will be stage number, what are we on? We're on day something 160 of the 15-day slow or crush the curve or whatever the phrase was that they used. We're on like the day 160 of flatten the curve. I have a feeling we're heading into inning number 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, whatever it is of this pandemic, as we head into twindemic in the fall. When we come back, everything is political now, even tires. We'll be right back.
All night with the king.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
final segment for the week. This is the Mike Madison Show. I want to remind everybody on Friday, like I always do, if you're looking for a good place to go eat, get the kids out of the house, get them some good quality food that they will love, or yourself, head out to Your Pie in Gluckstadt. They are at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right there by Germantown High School. 10-inch brick oven fired pizzas, paninis, pastas, salads. They got craft beers and wine, gelato, brownies, desserts. It's a fantastic place to go. Right now they're doing takeout, I believe, for lunch, but they are open for sit-down dining during the evenings. You got televisions there for any sports that might pop up. It's a nice place to go. They're keeping their distance, so they're taking care of all the surroundings there to make everybody comfortable to eat. It's a veteran-owned business, and one of these small businesses that, unfortunately, we have watched have to adjust and readjust in reaction to the COVID stuff. These small local independent businesses have been really hit, and it's great for us to go out and support them. So please check out Your Pie. If you can't get out there, you can download the Waiter app and search for Your Pie, and you can have their food delivered to you, pizzas, the way you want them. Kids can get exactly what they want on them. They got a bunch of great menu items, but you can also create your own pizza with whatever toppings you want. They also have an app I encourage you to get because it's full of specials and discounts and all kinds of things, so download the Your Pie app. That's Your Pie out in Gluckstadt, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Please, please support this veteran-owned local business. All right, let's see what all we got here. One of the great tragedies of the left these days is the fact that they have lost their sense of humor. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in Hollywood, a lot of comedians that are left-leaning, but they're very funny people. I don't care too much about their politics if you can make me laugh, but particularly during the era of Trump, they're just not funny anymore. This was an exchange last night, I guess, between Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Elaine from Seinfeld, and a Veep. Veep is a hilarious show. And not too left or right, actually. Just really funny. I'm a big fan of Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Her politics I'm not a fan of, but that's okay. Until she does this, she's sacrificing. This is her and Andrew Yang doing some kind of a skit that was such a dud.
My favorite actress is Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Hey, Julia.
Hi, Andrew. I'm so glad to see you. So what did you think about Kamala Harris's speech last night?
It was tremendous. I was so happy for her.
I know, me too. She's fabulous. I cannot wait to see her debate our current vice president, Mika Pence. Or is it Pence?
It's pronounced Ponce, I believe.
Oh, some kind of weird foreign name?
Yeah, not very American sounding.
Yeah, that's what people are saying strongly. Well, thank you, Andrew. And please give my regards to the gang.
I will. They're right in the next room. Have a great night, Julia.
Thank you so much.
With all of that comedic brain power on the left, that's what they came up with? Something about Mike Pence's last name? Well, that is incredibly sad. I didn't get any clips. I'm uninterested in the Democratic National Convention. Joe Biden apparently didn't have a ton of gas, but he had one earlier in the week, so I got to throw in at least one.
That's the kind of first lady, this Jill Biden will be.
So I guess he just got stuck there for just a minute. But since I'm equal opportunity here, I found this one odd, too. This actually was President Trump this past week.
It's 99.995% of all fatalities are adults.
What?
Think of that. 99.95. That is extremely close to 100% of all fatalities are adults.
A fatality. Anyway, let's see what else we've got here. Well, everything is political now and race-based, including tire. Sports are political. Social media tech companies political. Movies are political. Viruses are now political. And even tires now. Apparently Goodyear stepped in it this past week with one of their in-house diversity trainings, and that ballooned into something itself.
I want to ask you about your tweet earlier today on Goodyear. It was essentially calling for a boycott on Goodyear tires. Do you want the federal government to stop buying and using Goodyear product as well? And is there anything?
I'm not happy with Goodyear because what they're doing is playing politics. And the funny thing is the people that work for Goodyear, I can guarantee you I poll very well with all of those great workers in Goodyear. And when they say that you can't have Blue Lives Matter, you can't show a blue line, you can't wear a MAGA hat, but you can have other things that are Marxist in nature, There's something wrong with the top of Goodyear. And what the radical left does is they make it impossible for people to do business if they're Republican or if they're conservative. They put out all sorts of effort, don't shop there. They do vicious things, not so different than what you saw on the streets of Portland.
So there you go. Don't have time for the entire clip, but even tires now are political. Goodyear really stepped in it. I think a lot of Goodyear, poor Goodyear dealerships, particularly down here in the South. Gosh, they must be here getting an earful. Oh, what else can I get to here? There was an interesting thing. The mayor of Chicago, who has supported the riots essentially in Chicago, she went so far as to say that black lives are, quote, more important than downtown corporations. Last week, in a show of incredible hypocrisy, she defended the Chicago Police Department's ban on protesters being able to demonstrate on the block where anyone, where she lives, telling reporters Thursday that she and her family at times require heightened security because of threats she receives daily. Quote, I think that residents of this city, understanding the nature of the threats that we are receiving on a daily basis, understand I have a right to make sure that my home is secure. This is your mayor of Chicago. Duke University public policy professor William Darity co-authored a report calling for $12 trillion in slavery reparations, amounting to $800,000 for each eligible black household. Campus Reform asked Darity how the government would be able to pay for the reparations without raising taxes on those who have never owned slaves. He said that there is nowhere in the report where raising taxes is considered an option. Here's a teachable moment for you right up the alley of the Mike Madison Show, what I've been warning you about for quite some time. Here's what he said, quote, nowhere in the report do we say the reparations plan must be financed by raising anyone's taxes, Darity said. This is to give $12 trillion in reparations. When Campus Reform asked for clarification on how the government would pay reparations without raising taxes, Darity pointed to the government's response to the coronavirus, quote, in the same way that the federal government just spent somewhere between $2 to $4 trillion without raising taxes in response to the coronavirus crisis, Darity said. And that's exactly what it warned us. Very hard to tell the left that they can't have any of their grand schemes for a Green New Deal or reparations or anything, because even under a Republican administration, we have just shown that the Federal Reserve can just print money out of thin air and make it look like it's easy to do. So now $12 trillion in reparations coming out of Duke University. That's all the time I got today. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.